Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Now, if you want to try to make things happen, yeah, you got to sell yourself. You got to be confident. You got to be perfect. It's all on you. But when you give yourself over to the Lord and you trust Him, and you're not self-assured, but you're sure in Him, I'm following you, then you can put your confidence in the Lord. And that's the confidence we need in the church. Not confidence in what you can do, but confidence in what God is going to do through you.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
The Bible is clear. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Understand that there's nothing we can do to earn our way to heaven. It doesn't matter what you've done or will promise to do. The only thing that matters is what Jesus has done. It's because of His finished work on the cross that we have the opportunity to be saved. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5 verse 3, as we join Pastor Troy for the conclusion of our message entitled, What is a Christian?
He spent most of his time with disciples. Those who were interested in listening. Those who, when he said the hard things and everybody walked away, said, you guys want to go too? And they said, where else will we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. That was the group he spent his time with. That was the group he invested in. But not the crowds at large. He pours into those who are serious. Those who've left all to follow him. The purpose of the church, the building, the church, this body, is not evangelism. It is discipleship. Now, the purpose of the church, the people, is evangelism. To share the gospel. To be salt and light in the world. So, you are the evangelist. Now, there are gifts of evangelism. Those who can stand on a pulpit or in some format where there are large crowds and you can preach and it's orderly, people comprehend, they understand, they get the message, God is with you. But most are not that way. For most, you're salt and you're light. And God pours us out into this world to be different in the world at every age. Some of us are very young. There's that group to minister to. Others of us, we're growing more mature in our age. And we're called to minister to other groups. The younger groups, there's what's cool. We're driven towards certain things. We want to be creative. We don't want church like that. We want church like this. And you're called to say, look, church isn't like that or like this. It's following Christ. We're not about being cool. We need to go this direction. We need to follow the Lord. So you're young, and that's a little more the message. As you get older, what do you run into? Excuses and grumbling and complaining and an unwillingness to change. Hey, you don't teach an old dog new tricks. So you're ministering and you show them life and vibrance. I wish I had what you had. You have it. In Christ, so at every level, there's different ministry opportunities and different emphasis of ministry. But it's all the same. It all teaches us how to live in the kingdom of God. How to be members of the kingdom of God. So, we are focusing on discipleship. We come together to worship God, to build the body so that you and I can turn and become salt and light in the world. Now let's see what Jesus says to his followers about those in the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Again, Jesus basically describes to them what those look like, what's going on in the life of a person who is a member of the kingdom. And he tells them what's theirs as a result of their heart, where they're at. In other words, this is how you can recognize a genuine believer. These are the things that go on inside of a genuine believer. This isn't you are that one and you have that one and oh, I feel this one and I hunger and thirst for righteousness. Oh, I'm going to be filled. These build upon each other and you're going to be able to recognize yourself in here. But today we're only going to get so far. Notice that these are not natural tendencies. They're supernatural tendencies. They are things that we experience as a result of encountering God. Apart from encountering the Lord, we don't experience these things. The word blessed means, oh, how happy. And when you read some of these, they kind of contradict themselves. It seems like it. Blessed are you when you mourn. Oh, how happy are you when you're sad. Okay, when I'm sad, Jesus didn't raise my dad. I was still sad. How was I blessed? How was that good? Well, we're going to discover what this is talking about, what this means as we go through this. The idea is that God's values, the values placed in the heart of a believer, a true Christian, are different than the world's. We rejoice over different things. We see things differently than the world sees them. Our pursuits, our priorities, they're different than the world's priorities. My emotions, my pride, my ambitions chase one thing, but my knowledge of God and righteousness and holiness and purity cause me to go another direction. They're two roads, and they lead different directions. The world says, blessed are you if you have stuff. Scripture says, blessed are you when you're empty, when you're in need, because you will be filled. They're not random either. They actually build on each other, so they don't pick one and choose one, but they progress. So let's look at the very first one in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now to the world, being poor of spirit would be a sign of weakness, not strength. We live in a world where they say we need to build your self-esteem. No one loses. No child left behind. Everyone needs to be made to feel better about themselves. But when you're a sinner, when you're making wrong decisions, that can't be rewarded. You can't be made to feel just as good as somebody making right decisions. There is something wrong. There is a reason for guilt. There's a reason we experience guilt. Because we're guilty. But the world says, no, blessed is the person who's confident, who's self-confident, who can sell themselves. That person will get things out of life. They'll get things done. They'll accomplish a lot. They say that one of the marks of a good salesman is that he's confident in himself. He's confident in himself, and he also demonstrates a confidence in the products. Leaves the impression with, if you don't have what I'm selling, you're missing out. There's a confidence. You must have this. And if you don't have that, I mean, what kind of salesman? You know, there are many of these on the market. Some are actually cheaper. I think this is a good one. I'm selling it. Of course, I'm biased. But if you buy this, it'll put food on my family's table. I'm just going to be honest with you. It works most of the time. Nothing's perfect. It's not God. You know, are they going to buy that product from you? No. You're going to give them all the best stats. You're going to tell them why they need it, where things are going in the future. And you're confident. You have self-esteem. That's what the world teaches us. It's what the world teaches us that we need. We do need confidence. But our confidence must be in the Lord. One of the things I would tell worship team members is confidence can be heard. You need confidence. You can't just get behind the mic and let the glory of the Lord rise among us, I think. You can't do that. I think I got my part. You have to, I've got my part. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Yeah, we're going to let it rise, man. That confidence is important. However, the confidence has to be in the Lord. Let's back up now. Okay, you're in the worship ministry. Has God brought you to this place? Are you being faithful to God? Are you doing everything to pursue the Lord? And is that why you're here? Has God gifted you? Then, if that is all true, you don't have to try to put confidence in yourself. You're not making things happen. God is. So you can put your confidence in the Lord completely. Now, if you want to try to make things happen, yeah, you got to sell yourself. You got to be confident. You got to be perfect. It's all on you. But when you give yourself over to the Lord and you trust Him, and you're not self-assured, but you're sure in Him, I'm following you, then you can put your confidence in the Lord. And that's the confidence we need in the church. Not confidence in what you can do, but confidence in what God is going to do through you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To serve the Lord, you don't have to sell me on you. Don't come in and try to look perfect and flawless. Just follow the Lord. Just follow the Lord. I talked to a man yesterday also who he's been involved with the Baptist church, and he feels like God wants to do things in his life. And he said, however, they have so many, okay, you got to have this degree and you got to have that degree and you got to do this and you got to do that in seminary this many years. And it's like, you know, I'm older, so obviously God can't be doing anything in my life. Well, as I was telling him how Calvary Chapel does it, and that's simply you get involved and you serve God. Entry level, you just get it. Where can I serve the Lord? And what we believe is God puts His hand on people. You begin to see it through faithfulness, commitment, a drive to become like Christ, submission to the Lord. Home, as we get to know a person, is their home in order or is there just chaos? You begin to see those things. See, they can have their home out of order, be on the verge of divorce, everything falling apart, and they can actually meet all the requirements of a system. You got this degree? Yes, I do. You went to school for this many years? Yes, I did. Everything's in order. Life's falling apart, but I've got all the plaques, the accolades. But when you watch a life, and that's what it requires, that's why you can't sell yourself to people or to God. You get in, you serve God, you're faithful. And God does what He wants to do, and then your confidence is always in the Lord. You know, the word poor here doesn't mean simply you're poor, you're without. It actually means beggar poor. The picture is one who would not even look up because of the shame of his condition. Blessed are the poor. I don't deserve this. Remember when Isaiah saw the vision of God? Now, Isaiah is a prophet of God. And he sees this vision of God, and he didn't go, you know, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. It was an amazing vision. And he didn't go, man, how blessed I am, man, good to be a prophet. No, he said, woe is me. I am undone. I don't deserve this. I can't believe God would permit me to see this and not kill me. I can't believe God would ask me to do this. Peter, when Jesus came along and he had fished all night, not caught anything, and Jesus said, hey, cast your nets on the other side for me really quick. He didn't say this, but it's like, I'm Jesus, go ahead and humor me, you know? Peter's like, You know, we've been fishing all night. I'm self-confident in this fishing thing, so I don't think that's going to work, Jesus. But nonetheless, because you say, I am going to submit myself to you, I'm going to believe you. I'm going to do it. He cast the nets, and it says they brought up so much they needed help. The nets were breaking. And Peter didn't say, man, I love being on your team. You're awesome. He said, depart from me. I am a sinful man. Why don't I get it? Why don't I just trust you? Why don't I follow you? It's good to be a member of the kingdom of heaven because our King is awesome. Our King is willing to give us direction. We're going to learn more about what it means to follow Christ, how easy it should be to be led by Christ. I'll give an example of how trainers, once they get a horse conditioned a certain way, they no longer have to lead that horse by jerking them or dragging the bit, but they can actually lead them with their eye. They can look and lead the horses to do certain things. It's a lot of training, a lot of training. But God wants us to be able to move that easy. He wants to lead us. He's the King. And if you're a member of the kingdom, He wants us to be looking at Him, waiting for our orders, following Him, representing Him rightly, not busy pursuing our own things, making ourselves too busy for Him. Sometimes we think if we're not doing a whole lot, if we're not real, real busy, I'm wasting God's time. When you may be experiencing that period of rest that God talks about, oh, I've got something for you. I'm preparing you. I need you ready and I need you available for it, but I need you to rest. Chill out. Rest. Relax. I have led you into this time. You're not going to be sitting forever, but it's soon you're going to be busier than you ever hoped to be. And I'm preparing you for that. We need to take our rest. We need to take those times that God gives us and rest. The other side of the coin, there are some who think, all we should do is rest. And God's not leading us with His eye. Go over there. Now you got to tell me. More than tell me. You have to pick me up and move. If God wants me to do it, have you heard it? If God wants it done, He will do it. He'll make it happen. Well, He's been telling you for quite some time, if God wants it done, He'll make it happen. He'll make me do it. Like a robot. But God never does that. What He does is He lets you continue to float through life, and when you end up going the direction of the current, while someone is willing to stand up and walk against the current, they wave as you're going by, how you doing? Hey, how come you're getting to do certain things? I've been a Christian longer than you, as you're floating by in your little inner tube in life, and they're getting up going against the current. The idea here is that I realize before God that I am nothing spiritually. I am poor. I'm poverty stricken. I have nothing to offer God. I don't sell myself to Him. I don't try to prove to Him that I am a Christian. I don't even try to prove to everybody else that I'm a Christian. I come broken before God. And when I do, it says that He gives me heaven. This is the very beginning of our journey in the kingdom of heaven. You acknowledge that spiritually you're poor. In fact, you're dead. And as a result, when you acknowledge that and you come to Christ, you receive heaven. Those who are spiritually poor, it says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's the only attitude we can approach God with. And then look at the response, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it leads us into verse 4. So we're going to take these slowly and really discover where the heart of a Christian should be, what the heart of a Christian should experience, so that we understand where we're at, maybe why we experience certain battles. We need to think through these things. Because if you're a Christian, you should be experiencing these things. A Christian is a follower of Christ. A Christian is a member of the kingdom. You don't become a member of the kingdom by coming forward and simply praying. Something happens in your life, in your heart. There's an encounter with the living, risen Savior. It's that encounter that causes us to experience everything we're going to read in these Beatitudes. Without that encounter, we can't experience these things. You're not inspired to thirst and hunger after righteousness. You don't mourn over the condition of a soul or sin, the way sin has got a grip on you and your life, where your life is at versus where God intended it to be. And you really don't acknowledge the fact that you're spiritually poor unless you experience Jesus Christ. So we're spiritually poor. Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's John 3:3. By acknowledging your spiritual poverty, you come before the Lord and everything is yours. The kingdom of heaven is yours. Born again Christianity is not a denomination. It's not an extreme form of Christianity. It is the only true Christianity. You're born again. This Bible, it's deep. There is a lot to it. You go through it and you go, it's the only book that exists that you go through it and every time it's different. The same passage which spoke to you one thing speaks to you something different the next time because it meets you where you're at. It's alive. It's active. It's truth. It was true then. It's true today. And a Christian is one who wants to know his Lord. Because the only way we can follow the orders of our commander and become like him is to know him. And so we hunger and thirst for righteousness. We look to him. Are you born again? Not do you love God. A lot of people love God. I loved God. Before I was born again, I loved God. I loved him. I knew he was good. And I knew he loved me. I accepted all of that. I understood all of that. But there came a time in my life where I was faced with a challenge. And that challenge was, okay, are you willing to follow him? Do you love him enough and do you trust him and know that he loves you enough that it's safe to put your life in his hands? Are you willing now to let him come inside of you, break through that tough exterior, and to cause changes and fruit to begin to be the result of your life? Are you ready for that? If that's never happened in your life, if you've never really understood, I am spiritually poor and I need to be made spiritually alive, then it could be that you need to be born again. Because the rest of this will make no sense. You can't build on it. It'll be too much. You can't hang in a serious Bible teaching church unless you have the Spirit of God. At some point, it's going to undo you. Because the truth cuts. The truth causes us to grow. It's in mining, the way that they would get a diamond from the coal is that they would crush the exterior. They would crush it and all of the compression together would cause to come forth this diamond. As a Christian, in the very end, the only thing in heaven will be those diamonds. What's on the inside is going to be revealed through the pressure. It was the method of Jesus' ministry. Big followings, crowds, and then he would share difficult passages, difficult things, and then they would leave. So where are you at today? Do you want to press in? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Have you experienced this? Do any of these describe you and what you've experienced?
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Pastor Troy will pick up where he left off the next time you join us for another study through the Gospel of Matthew here on Building on the Solid Rock. If you live in the San Antonio, Texas area, we want to invite you to join us for worship. The messages that you hear on Building on the Solid Rock are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. Maybe the teaching you heard today is exactly what you're looking for in a church. then please join us. We meet Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. For more information about our ministry, including service times and driving directions, log on to our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will be able to listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety, as well as get to know us better. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We want to thank you for tuning in, and may God richly bless you.
But somehow I survive, and I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.